Ron Flatter with your VSiN Action Update. With everyone passing their COVID tests on all four teams, the conference championships are good to go today in the NFL, starting in 1 hour with the Packers and Buccaneers at Lambeau Field. A mild surprise among the inactives, Tampa Bay starting safety Antoine Winfield will miss the game. As expected, Packers corners Kevin King and Tremont Williams will play. Late word on the weather, about a 50-50 chance of flurries during the game. Otherwise, for the most part, all the snow that had happened has. The wind will be close to 10 miles per hour. Kickoff temperature 30, wind chill 22. Still a few shops showing 3.5, but by and large, the Packers were favored by 4. Then we got the usual late push of public money here in Nevada on the favorite. So Green Bay now mostly favored by 3. The over-under, 53.5. At Arrowhead Stadium, cloudy, dry, light wind, 39 degrees tonight for the Chiefs and Bills. Word is the Kansas City wide receiver, Sammy Watkins, will be a game-time decision with his leg injury. Running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire and cornerback Bashaud Breeland are good to go. Le'Veon Bell not expected to play. Patrick Mahomes certainly is against a healthy Buffalo team. We'll see about his turf toe, referring to Mahomes. The Chiefs are favored by 3. Some shops have added juice to lay the points. The total is 54.5. Matthew Stafford will be traded. But where? ESPN says that he and the Lions agreed to part company, so the team will listen to offers. Adam Schefter suggesting Indianapolis, San Francisco, and Washington are possible landing places. This offseason is also expected, though, to feature a lot of quarterback movement. Deshaun Watson, according to Chris Mortensen at ESPN, doesn't care who the new head coach is going to be. He still wants out of Houston. Sam Darnold and maybe Carson Wentz are looking at changes of address. Free agents may include Dak Prescott, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Mitchell Trubisky, Cam Newton, and Jacoby Brissett, among others. 7 of the 8 games on today's NBA schedule look like they will be played. Only Sacramento at Memphis, a victim of some positive COVID tests. They are playing right now at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in downtown Indianapolis, where the Pacers came in 4.5-point favorites. Toronto gets 11 points so far from OG Anunoby. Indiana with 10 from Doug McDermott. Second quarter of play, 3:05 to go, and Toronto, the underdog, leads the Pacers 49-43. The over-under, by the way, closed 217.5. Also this afternoon, the Clippers, 13-point home favorites against Oklahoma City. Tonight, Boston lays 6 at home against Cleveland. Orlando, a 1-point favorite hosting Charlotte. San Antonio, favored by 7 at home against Washington. Milwaukee, an 8-point favorite against the visiting Hawks. And Portland lays 4 in a home date with the Knicks. No ranked men's teams playing college basketball today. One game involving unranked teams has just finished in the Big Ten at Bloomington, where Geo Baker scored 18 points. Rutgers snaps a 5-game losing streak, upsetting the 4.5-point favorite Indiana. Final was the Scarlet Knights 74 and the Hoosiers 70. The game flew over the 134.5 total. Later, Utah, a 5-point road favorite against Washington. Miami laying 3 at home against Notre Dame. The University of Michigan has shut down all its athletic activity for 2 weeks. That more aggressive strain of COVID showed up in testing there. All athletes, coaches, and staff have to quarantine for 14 days. The Wolverine men's basketball team will miss 4 games, including Wednesday's canceled visit to Penn State and dates against Indiana, Northwestern, and Michigan State. One early matinee in the NHL, Pia Suter scored the first 2 goals of his NHL career, 5 minutes apart in the first period. Detroit answered with a power play goal early in the second from Tyler Bertuzzi. Chicago added a goal from Connor Murphy, his second of this young season. They have just reached the second intermission, and Chicago, a -130 favorite, leads Detroit 3-1. The game closed at 6 for the total, shaded to the under. In an hour, Buffalo, -120, visiting even money Washington. The NFL moving toward its grand finale. VSiN betting experts have every angle covered and every other sport too. We're tracking the NBA, college hoops, horse racing, soccer, hockey, tennis, and we have new shows like The Nuts with Mike Palm and Amal Shah starting tomorrow at 2 Eastern. Get best bet emails every day, 24/7 video, point spread weekly, all with your free trial at vsin.com/subscribe. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Sennett with you from Detroit, Michigan. James Salinas in Denver, Colorado. Wes Reddles of the VSIN Studios in Las Vegas. It's Championship Sunday. Two games today. It's methadone for the NFL season, and then no games next week, and then the Super Bowl. What are we going to do? What are we going to talk about? There's a lot going on, though, with both games. In the AFC Championship game, Patrick Mahomes cleared to play, but turf toe could be a problem for him. We'll talk more about the AFC Championship game as we get closer to the kickoff at the 3 o'clock hour Eastern time. But let's focus now on the NFC. The Green Bay Packers hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Lambeau Field. A snowy today. Snow should have tapered off by now, maybe some flurries, but quite cold. 25 degrees, winds 5 to 10 miles an hour at Lambeau Field today as Aaron Rodgers and the Packers look to make it to the Super Bowl over Tom Brady and the Buccaneers as Tom Terrific looks to make his 10th Super Bowl appearance. James Salinas, a lot of opinions on this game. A lot of folks are leaning toward the Green Bay Packers. Are you one of them?
Yeah, I've already bet it. So I have Green Bay at the 3, and I want to see what this number is. And just an injury to note. So inactives have been out, and we knew that Antonio Brown was not going to play at the wide receiver position today for the Bucs, but it was questionable what was going to happen with their strong safety, Antoine Winfield. He has been listed as out. He will not be available to play, and I think that is a big blow for really that. He's played strong safety. He is in the secondary, but he's a big part of their run defense. So he comes up, he allows Bowles to do a lot of different looks. You know how they like to bring so many different fronts right up to the line of scrimmage and run a lot of run blitzes and pass blitzes right at the line of scrimmage and try to confuse the offensive line and the quarterback. And ultimately, I think for Aaron Rodgers, he's been there and seen it all. But I think not having Winfield Jr. in there today is a big blow to their run defense. He had 94 tackles for this team through the season. He's a rookie player, but very aggressive player, very physical player. 94 tackles as well as 3 sacks. So that tells you they do bring him, and Bowles will bring him on the blitz. Not afraid to put their secondary in some different coverages when they get up there at the line of scrimmage. So I think that is going to be Wes, what do you think? How is this going to impact that defense, and what might we see out of Green Bay, considering that I think they were going to look to run the football? They got all 3 running backs healthy again for the Packers, and in a sense, now that you don't have Winfield going to play, I feel like Tampa Bay might have to bring off and play a little bit more coverage on the back end, because they may not be as aggressive now that Winfield is out today.
Yeah, and when I was looking at the matchup of the corners against the receivers, Carlton Davis, of course, you would think is going to be matched up on Devontae Adams on the defensive side for Tampa Bay. Carlton Davis, we kind of saw the real good and the really bad last week. He did get beat on that Jameis Winston trick play. Traquan Smith got behind him. He bit on the fake. So he got beat for that big touchdown. But for the rest of the game, he shadowed Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas didn't have a catch last week. Now, part of that, at least it was part and parcel of the fact that Drew Brees can't get the ball down the field and really throw any deep shots to receivers. But Carlton Davis did a really good job. So you would think that he's going to be on Devontae Adams, and we'll see who can win that matchup. But you would think at least it's a tougher matchup for Adams. So therefore, it's going to open it up. And we'll get into this in the props segment too, with Lazard and Valdes-Scantling and how much that they try to maybe throw the ball out of the backfield, because the Bucs now with Vita Vea back are going to be, at least you would think, a lot stronger against the run, and they're already one of the strongest teams in the league against the run. So you may not have Jones get all those carries. You may have him kind of balanced out a little bit with the kid out of Boston College, Dylan, and then Williams out of the backfield. So you may not get a lot of as many of the Aaron Jones carries. So I think they're going to, I mean, Green Bay is going to throw the ball, even in the inclement weather. And it's a lot different with Tampa Bay with what they're facing against Drew Brees. They were facing a guy that obviously was showing his age, that cannot get the ball down the field. That is not a problem for Aaron Rodgers. He can get the ball down the field and take some deep shots and really knows. You know, they're not working with limitations with Aaron Rodgers like they were doing with Drew Brees in New Orleans. You've got a guy that's in his prime that doesn't have very many limitations right now, as he is likely on his way to an MVP season here, and we'll find that out here in a week or two in terms of the awards. But yeah, and that's what makes me like Green Bay. Like, even if they take Adams away or, you know, minimize his effect, then I think that Green Bay can, they have plenty of guys that they can get involved. We've seen the emergence of Robert Tonyan. I was having that discussion with Danny Burke on Rush Hour this week right here on VSiN, and he liked a lot of the Robert Tonyan props. And that's a guy, I think they showed a graphic in last week's game against the Rams, that he had had like barely in the double-digit catches last season, and then this season he's got over double-digit touchdowns. So even if Devontae Adams is not quite erased but minimized, Green Bay's got the weapons, I think, to take advantage. Just got to keep Aaron Rodgers clean from this pass rush up front.
Rush defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one of the NFL, giving up 80.6 yards per game. And as Wes mentioned, Vita Vea is back for the Buccaneers. He has been out with a broken ankle since October. He graded out as the third best interior defensive lineman of the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. These two teams did meet back in week six. A lot of folks are just discounting that game altogether. That was a Tampa Bay romp, 38-10 over Green Bay. Teams with a 20-plus point victory over a regular season opponent when the two teams have met again in the conference championship round. The team that won in the regular season has gone 13-2. What can we learn from that Week 6 Tampa Bay win over Green Bay that we can translate to this championship matchup, James?
Well, I think if anything, it just gives the Bucs confidence to know that they played a lot of zone in that game. And really, I was just saying, you don't confuse Aaron Rodgers very often, but he was confused in that game, especially on a couple of the picks that he threw. And part of it, too, I feel like I think Rodgers can get a little full of himself sometimes, too. And we've seen that with the whole discount double check and all these other things that he does with his touchdown celebrations. And in that game, they got off to a quick start. They got off to a 10-0 lead. He scored a touchdown, did his little dance, and whatever that was that he was doing in the end zone for his celebration. Ultimately, you know, I feel like that was kind of a weird game from a scheduling standpoint. First off, for the Packers, they had just come off a week 5 bye. Now, they had scored the first 4 weeks of the season, offensively, they were doing whatever they wanted. They had scored 38 points a game on average up to that point. And then as you're rolling, the last thing you want to do is, as a team that's really just starting the season and now clicking and playing very well and with plenty of momentum, is stop that momentum right there, having really that untimely bye, in a sense, come week 5. But then on the Bucs side as well, you know, they were coming out, they had a longer time to prepare. They had that game previously, it was on a short week. Thursday night, that was the game at Chicago that they lost. Vita Vea broke his ankle in that game, but then they had more time to get set up and be prepared for Green Bay, and ultimately that game totally flipped upside down, not only after the pick six, but then the subsequent interception from Rodgers set up Tampa Bay in short territory, and they were able to punch it in. And you go from a 10-0 lead to a 28-10 halftime deficit. That I think what was most concerning for me in that game, and we kind of saw this, or we definitely saw this, in my opinion, last year in the NFC Championship game as well, was once they fell behind, and last year, thinking about last year's championship game in San Francisco, that was just a complete, I mean, the score, they got some garbage time in the second half, but ultimately it looked like just one team was ready to go, one team was ready to play and compete, because I didn't see a lot of fight out of Green Bay. Kind of the same thing back in that week 6 matchup down in Tampa. Didn't see a lot of fight when things started to go upside down. Where was it to go back in at halftime and let's get it back together? Kind of seemed disinterested. Didn't have a whole lot of competitiveness about them as collectively as a team, Wes. And I think if anything, that would be the only concern that that I would take away from that game is more as the psyche of it, of just if Green Bay falls behind, we saw it in that Week 6 game matchup, but ultimately more so of a concern for me is the lack of competitive spirit that we saw at a Green Bay in last year's championship game against the San Francisco 49ers.
Right, because we go back to that Week 6 matchup when it was 10-0, it looks like this was all Green Bay, and I had Tampa as the home underdog that day, and I thought, okay, I'm in trouble here, and then it was one-way traffic on Tampa Bay once they got that pick 6 by Dean early in the second quarter. And look, it was Rodgers' worst game of the year, so he's out for redemption. He was 16 of 35, had two interceptions. The one concern I would have, even as somebody that likes Green Bay in this spot, is can they keep Aaron Rodgers clean? Because Tampa Bay did get 5 sacks on him in that matchup down in Tampa in Week 6. So that, I think, it has to be a concern. And of course, we know Bakhtiari has been out for a few weeks and now out for the rest of the year. So that's taken away one of the anchors of your offensive line. But Green Bay has recovered nicely, at least in the interim. They're number one in DVOA, the advanced analytics, in terms of their offensive ranking. And I was actually very impressed with Green Bay because last week, you know, you thought maybe there's going to be a little bit of rust with those bye week teams, even though they had only one bye week as compared to Kansas City having two, because Green Bay had to play Week 17 to clinch that home field advantage in Lambeau. But, you know, they came out and they were ready right away, and the Rams made a couple mistakes, a couple 15-yard penalties, and Green Bay capitalizes on them, and they do it better than anybody in the league is capitalizing on your mistakes. So, I think Tampa Bay is a little bit up against it. Tampa Bay did capitalize, by the way. They didn't really, you look at their numbers in terms of offense, they had, I think, 320 some yards last week. It's not like they're putting up like stupid offensive numbers here. I think they're basically taking advantage of opponents' mistakes, and they were able to take advantage of a lot of them last week with 4 New Orleans turnovers. So it's not like Tampa's offense was necessarily the juggernaut that we think that they are, and I think that there's a perception of that here. So I'm leaning to the Green Bay side. Probably what I'll end up doing is going money line, like I did on the Chiefs. It's 175 at BetMGM. There's still some 160-ish in the market, but I think this is Green Bay's spot to lose.
Tampa did have 7 yards per play in their wild card win over Washington, but they followed that up with just 4.6 yards per play in their win over the Saints. And looking back at the matchup in Week 6, Tampa Bay did outgain Green Bay 324 to 201, but that's a 5.1 yards per play to 3.3 yards per play. Best bets, vsin.com/subscribe. Best bets email comes every day in your email. Gil Alexander, host of A Numbers Game on VSiN, likes Green Bay laying 3 and the Packers in the first half laying 2.5. Mitch Moss likes the Packers laying 3. Mike Palm likes the Packers laying $1.75. Adam Chernoff, Packers 3.5 and under 51. Jonathan Von Tobel, Buccaneers +4. And Chuck Edel, Buccaneers +3.5. Any bets you like on this one, James Salinas?
Yeah, actually, so that we were talking about the total here, and I was keeping an eye on the total. I was hoping it might get to 54. It's actually ticking back down now to 53 and actually 52.5 here in Colorado on the BetMGM app. I'm not sure if I'm going to play that now, but I'm going to look at the first half. It was 27. It's juiced to the under here. I just think from this standpoint for this game going forward, early in this matchup, both teams are going to need to try to establish some kind of running game. Not that they need to take pressure off the quarterbacks here, but ultimately I think it's going to be the fact that there are going to be plenty of situations where you're going to need to have the threat of the running game, whether it's down inside the red zone or third and short, third and medium, third and 3, third and 4, those kind of areas, to where now I like both teams being physical up front, running the football, not for big yardage, but to keep the sticks moving and keep the clock running. And I think that's the other part too. We talk about these two quarterbacks, both very efficient and accurate throwing the football. I don't know if there's going to be a lot of big shots opportunities early in this game down the field. I think ultimately here, rhythm is key for Brady. Brady is really a rhythm thrower. It's going to be some short passes. Look to get some balls to the backs, looking for some of the areas you can attack. The Green Bay defense is in the middle of the field. But anytime we're being accurate with the football and you're taking more high percentage throws, it lends to the clock continuing to kick, because ultimately right now in the NFL, the only time the clock stops is when you have an incomplete pass. So I don't see a whole lot of those things going down. I think it's going to be kind of a feel-out process early in this game. Obviously, even though these quarterbacks have been there and done that, there's still going to be nerves. I just watched Aaron Rodgers coming out and very stoic when he came out of the locker room or coming out of the tunnel right now, hitting on the field and starting their warm-ups. Little stoic there, so not a lot of I try to read facial expressions and body language and looked a little stiff as well. Not saying that he's not going to step up and have a good game, but I just think early on these teams are going to try to run the football, and so hence I am going to look at the under 27 in the first half for this game.
That's right where I'm going, James, and I may be following you here. There's still some 27s in the market. It actually gets juiced to the under here at South Point now, minus 115, so maybe the boys in the back are listening to you here on Betting Across America, but a lot of 26s in the market. And keep in mind, 27, I think, is a very key number for a first half total. So try to get the 27 if you can instead of the 26.5, which we currently have here at BetMGM, juiced to the over at minus 120. And you can tell when the juice switches to the opposite sides. This is just a lesson maybe for new bettors. That's what you get, and that's what tells you it's a key number. So I could see this starting out slow and then maybe picking up gradually. So try to find the under 27 first half if you can.
Aaron Rodgers 1-3 in the NFC Championship game as the starting quarterback. Packers laying 3 against the Buccaneers. More to come on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The NBA season's in full swing, and the wrap-up of the NFL, it's time for you to get into Quick Picks. Play the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and biggest payouts on the fastest and easiest game in the business. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite teams. Sign up for Quick Picks and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100. And you can use PayPal so you can be confident that it's secure and legal. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 or older. Go to quickpicks.com/vsinbonus to find out more. We're back from Detroit, Denver, and Las Vegas. It's Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Sennett, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas. The Memphis Tigers have had a decent season. They're struggling a bit, as all our teams are, all teams with COVID-19. East Carolina hosting Memphis today. The Pirates have not played since January the 9th due to the aforementioned coronavirus. Joe Dooley will not be on the sidelines for East Carolina. They're off to a 7-3 start, a good start for the Pirates. Memphis has not allowed an opponent in the American Athletic Conference to score more than 60 points in 4 straight games. Memphis, James, laying 6 at East Carolina today. Williams Arena at Menchie's Coliseum. 135 the total, and this is one of those another cautionary tales for bettors. Know before you put your money down at the window.
Well, and we talked about this earlier, at least for me, for all these sports, but in particular for basketball, college, and the NBA. Teams coming off these long layoffs due to COVID, not sure how much time they've had to practice and actually get out there and compete on the floor due to the scheduling issues. Both of these teams have gone through some major scheduling turmoil due to COVID. Ultimately, yes, Memphis is now back onto the court. They did play two games this past week and played Wichita State on Thursday and really were led from wire to wire in that game. Wichita State could not make a basket. They couldn't shoot from three. I don't know why they kept shooting the three. I think they went 2 for 22, something to that effect. Was just not their night shooting the basketball, but then obviously never adjusted and tried to get anything to the basket. Yes, defensively, Memphis looked very stout. They were cutting off all the driving lanes, really dominated that game against Wichita State. But again, Memphis they've only played two games, let's just call it two games this year, because prior to this past week, they hadn't played since Tuesday, December 29th. So, but same kind of thing going on with the Pirates. You know, they haven't played a game in 2 weeks. And then prior to that, for East Carolina, they also had another 2 week layoff due to COVID issues. So ultimately, Wes, I can't play this game. I don't know who's actually going to be out there on the court available and actually what kind of playing acumen they've had as a team to be able to practice together. And now stepping on the court just makes it a challenge as a sports bettor, as a handicapper, to try to anticipate who's actually going to be able to compete tonight.
Yeah, nothing for me here either, James. The spot, I kind of like Memphis because maybe that Wichita State game, I was on them the other night, that Wichita State game is going to give them confidence because they were able to see some shots go down, which they haven't had a lot of times this season. This is a very good defensive team. Sixth in the nation in adjusted DE, defensive efficiency, and also 13th in the country in terms of defending the three, 28%, 43rd in terms of defending on the interior, 45.1%. This defense is really good, one of the better defenses in the country, but they just struggle to score. And I am not wont to lay a road favorite at 6.5 with a team that really struggles to score and can have some offensive droughts. So, look, I think Memphis, is the team I would back maybe more than East Carolina here, but just their offensive woes is going to keep me off the game.
San Diego State laying 16 on the road at Air Force Thursday. 37-point victory for San Diego State over Air Force, their largest margin of victory in a Mountain West Conference road game in school history. They're laying 16 today in Colorado Springs, James.
Yeah, Joe Scott back at Air Force now. He was back there in the early 2000s and took them out. Got to the tournament back in the day and competed with North Carolina. I remember I went to that game down at the Can here in Denver. But ultimately, they're clearly overmatched from a physicality standpoint, a height standpoint, and an athleticism standpoint there with San Diego State. But, 16 points again on the road. I don't know. Maybe San Diego State got a little jiggy with it down there in Colorado Springs in between the 2 days of a playoff, some break time. Ultimately, that city's closed, so I can't play this game either side. If anything, I would lean towards Air Force and the points.
Prop bets coming up here on VSiN. VSiN All Access member today and get all of our expert VSiN betting analysis for the NFL Conference Championship weekend and every sport in action for less than $22 per month. Receive daily emails with our best bets from guests and hosts, 24/7 video access, and our point spread weekly betting guides. It's everything you need to increase your sports betting IQ. Start your free trial right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Sennett in Detroit, James Salinas in Denver, Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. Sort of an appetizer this weekend of prop bets available. When you get to this time of year, the sports books are just as sharp as the players at a lot of times, and it's very difficult to find advantages in the actual sides or the totals. And so now when you approach the Super Bowl, the sharp bettors, the pro bettors, they are the ones that are really digging in on prop bets as an opportunity to make money. So, James Salinas, I'll ask you, in this appetizer weekend, so to speak, are there any prop bets that you like heading into the AFC and NFC title games?
Yeah, I didn't make any prop bets with the NFC game. Just feeling like I'm, you know, with these two quarterbacks, they've got plenty of players to spread the football around to, not only throwing the football, but both teams are completely healthy at the running back position, which means they kind of divvy up and share carries as well. So couldn't get there on any numbers. And a lot of times with prop bets, I'm looking more so to go under rather than I am to go over, whether it's yards receiving, rushing yards, passing yards, those types of things. And, you know, just didn't get a good feel for the Bucks game, the Bucks and the Packers game, this NFC championship, trying to find any props that kind of correlated to how I think the game's going to go. But in this case here with the Bills and the Chiefs, the AFC championship game, I do have a couple prop bets that I've played in that are kind of correlated with the way that I think the game is going to go. And in this case, the first one, and of course, it's Patrick Mahomes, who is just such a special and phenomenal talent out there, but I'm actually betting against him today. Not that he's not going to have a great game, but as far as his actual yardage is concerned. So looking through the props, and again, you've got to shop around, because I think that's the one place in the market. We're talking about the games and the sides here, the sides and the totals. Three, maybe some three juice to the favorite, et cetera, and maybe the total fluctuating between a half a point to a point. But ultimately, in the player prop market, there's a lot of fluctuation. So if you do your due diligence, go in there and dig for some of these props and find good numbers, that's definitely to your advantage, depending on what you want to go with this. And in this case here, for the Chiefs game, I am betting against Patrick Mahomes as far as his collective yardage is concerned with both rushing and throwing. It's 330 and a half under is where I'm going with it from a rushing and its combined yardage. And I think ultimately for his toe, yeah, they're going to have to be sensitive as far as Andy Reid is concerned with his game plan. There's not going to be any kind of design runs for Patrick Mahomes. They don't normally do that anyhow, but he does have the ability to run the football. But I think in this game here, he has to be conscious of it, because that is an injury. When we're talking about turf toe, it's a sprain that you can aggravate. You can exacerbate that and make that injury worse. So I think from a game plan perspective, they're going to be a little more conservative of where they're going to have him rolling out and making plays. And a lot of times when they have those big plays, Wes, for Kansas City, a lot of it comes out of his ability to get outside the pocket, to climb through the pocket, get outside the pocket, and really kind of improvise making big plays down the field, because his receivers have the ability to do scramble drill and have big plays over the top. I suspect that's not going to be the case. He's going to be more prone to stay in the pocket, short yardage, more short passes, as well as I think Kansas City tries to get and simulate somewhat of a running attack, not as similar to what we saw in Week 6, Wes, but ultimately they are, with Hilaire coming back today, I think they're going to be able to run the football more, so not as much pressure on Mahomes and not nearly as many yards out of it. Hence, I did bet the under 330 and a half collective yards for Patrick Mahomes today.
Yeah, and that certainly makes sense. And even though I like Kansas City in the spot, most of the props I actually did were on Buffalo here, because, and I talked about it earlier in terms of Kansas City, what they like to do. They gave up the least amount of yards to opposing receivers this season, because that's what they try to do, is they don't want to get deep, beat deep and for really big plays. So they give you a lot of underneath stuff. And I think it brings in Devin Singletary into play. And obviously with Zach Moss out, he's going to get almost exclusively all of the work out of the backfield, not just running the football, but also catching the football. So Devin Singletary over 2.5 receptions and over about 18 and a half receiving yards. That's kind kind of the market average right now on that prop made a lot of sense to me, and I played both of them because what I mentioned yesterday, Kansas City gives up, because they give up the least to the receivers, so they got to give up yards somewhere, they give up the most amount of receiving yards to running backs. And I think Devin Singletary, look, Josh Allen is going to want to get out of the pocket and maybe get some guys in the space, so I don't think it's just Devin Singletary just running the ball out of the backfield. I think they want to definitely throw him the ball, and because Kansas City gives up the middle a little bit, where they've got him covered down the field, Josh Allen's not going to be bashful necessarily about tucking that ball and running, so Josh Allen over 31.5 rushing yards made a lot of sense to me, and I added that this morning. So I did not do a ton of Kansas City props. I was kind of looking to see what it was going to be, because I think a lot of it was that we were waiting a little bit on injury news and what's going to happen here. I didn't get involved with the Brown or Diggs props because that's obviously the key matchup that's going to determine the game. Kansas City all year has taken away the receivers a little bit, but have allowed the running backs and the tight ends to eat underneath. So who's going to win that matchup between Diggs and Brown and the Kansas City corners? I couldn't really determine which number that was going to be. So Devin Singletary over in terms of receptions, 2.5 yards, anywhere from like 18.5, and I see a 19.5 at BetMGM makes a lot of sense. I did not play Dawson Knox, his props, but would certainly not disagree if people are playing his props over 2.5 receptions, I think 23.5 on the receiving yards. Buffalo, I think, is going to kind of, at least early on, take what Kansas City's defense is going to give them, which is funnel everything basically into the middle of the field.
Paul Charchian this week on Follow the Money. He liked Josh Allen prop bet to go under 305 passing yards and under 32.5 rushing yards. Mitch Moss on Follow the Money liked Travis Kelce to go over 94.5 receiving yards. Paulie Howard, Chiefs and Bills, longest field goal under 46.5. Those are for the AFC Championship game. Our final thoughts on both championship games of the AFC and the NFC when Betting Across America presented by BetMGM continues on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. With BetMGM for a chance to win $100 in free bets. Simply place a $1 moneyline wager on any pro football team of the conference championships using bonus code VSIN100. And if a touchdown is scored in either game by any team, you'll win $100 in free bets. Download the app or sign up online today to participate. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, or West Virginia only. Excludes Michigan disassociated persons. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789. And in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Center in Detroit. It is James Salinas in Denver. Wes Reynolds of the VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. An NHL score update for you. Blackhawks 6-2 over the Red Wings right now in the third period. United Center in Chicago. If you had under six, Wes Reynolds, what's happened?
You lose. If you had the under six as Warner Wolf, the longtime CBS 2 sportscaster in New York, says. So Chelsea Dagger has been a rare sight for the Blackhawks this year, a rare sound in terms of scoring goals, but they're playing that theme a lot today, 6-2 over the Red Wings, about 2.5 minutes to go. We kind of know the issues with the Blackhawks. They don't really have an NHL-level goaltender, but at least got some goals going today, and they are going to get back-to-back wins now over the Red Wings.
Well, that works out great because the Red Wings don't have an NHL-level team.
Right.
So that's a
struggle that's a bus perfect. For these longtime rivals this season, for sure.
Oh, indeed it is. Oh, boy. I'm watching that game here. That's why I had to mention that. Let's talk AFC Championship game real quick, and then we'll touch on the NFC prior to heading out at the top of the hour. AFC final thoughts, guys. Chiefs, Bills. I know a lot of people like the Chiefs, but for some reason, something in the back of my mind thinks Bills in this game. I have no reason for that. It's a gut feeling. I think Bills Mafia, I think, in terms of what fans would like to see, they would always like to see the upset. I know that Chuck Edel, Jonathan Von Tobel, Danny Burke, Matt Eumanns, Gil Alexander, and Adam Chernoff, among those who are on the Chiefs at 3 points. But, again, I'll poise it to you, James. To upset today, what do the Bills need to do?
Well, I think they have to be patient as far as the offense is concerned for Josh Allen. Not feel like if they get behind that this game is lost and we have to go toe-to-toe with that Kansas City offense. And I think that's the hard part for me with the Bills is the fact that, and Wes was alluding to this, that they're going to have to get a lot of underneath throws, whether it's to the running backs or over the middle of the field, in between the hash marks, but not over the second level into the deep secondary, because I don't think they're going to get those opportunities. I think the Chiefs are going to play a lot. They're going to play a lot more coverage. They're going to sit back and be behind and keep everything in front of them and really force Josh Allen, young quarterback, now not that much younger than what Mahomes is, but as far as experience level in the playoffs, definitely does not have the same level of confidence that Mahomes does on that side. So I think for the Bills, Josh Allen has to not only make some plays throwing the football, be very accurate, be right with his reads. We know he's going to have the ability to get outside the pocket, but don't try to do too much. We've seen him. We saw it, and I can think of that game against the Indianapolis in the wild card matchup. Crucial fumble there that ultimately that Indy was not able to recover, but he was holding on to the ball. They were about midfield, trying to salt the game away and ultimately trying to keep the ball for too long and make too much of a big play. Sometimes it's okay to throw the ball away and go to the next down or, in this case, even punt the football for that matter. So I think, Wes, as far as the Bills are concerned, for them to have to pull the upset, so much of this really falls on the shoulders of Josh Allen. And for me, I just feel like the moment these are what you learn through. You learn, a lot of times you learn how to win by losing. We saw that with Kansas City 2 years ago. This is the third straight championship game Kansas City has been in. 2 years ago, they lost, and it was a heartbreaking loss the way that they lost to the Patriots in that game. But they've learned from that. They've grown from that. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl last year. So from a confidence standpoint of playing in these moments, definitely favored the Chiefs in this matchup. But from Josh Allen's perspective, I just think this is a ton of weight on his shoulders. So if he proves me wrong, because I do have the Chiefs -3, I also have it rolled into a parlay money line with Green Bay money line and tied over from the that McGregor fight, that the under in that one for a big play, having some fun with that as well. I just feel like it's a little bit too much to put on Josh Allen's shoulders to go and win this game in Kansas City.
Yeah, we'll see if Josh Allen is ready for that championship game smoke, so to speak. We know Patrick Mahomes is, because now this is his third straight year in said AFC championship game. But yeah, I'm on the Chiefs with you too, James. Now, I'm interested in the game plan early on. If it's going to be the same of what we saw in Week 6, where they ran the ball early and often against the Buffalo Bills. I got to think the Bills are going to be expecting that. So I want to see how aggressive Reed and Bieniemy and Mike Kafka and the entire offensive brain trust for Kansas City is going to be early on if they're going to test Mahomes early. I got to think that they don't want him running too much, and they've certainly got the guys to be able to kind of work that middle of the field and then get guys in space in terms of end arounds, like with Hill and with Hardman and the like. Of course, Edwards-Helaire is back. He's the guy that had the bulk of the production in week six in that game. They've lost a couple guys. Sammy Watkins not going to go. Le'Veon Bell not going to go. But Kansas City's got enough depth and enough weapons, I think, to get the ball down the field. And it's going to be up to Buffalo to be able to extend that running attack. And then on the Buffalo side offensively, we've mentioned it several times here that Kansas City allows the least amount of yards to opposing wide receivers. Hence, they give up the most to opposing running backs. So they're going to try to, you know, kind of funnel everything underneath and into the middle of the field. And that's why I was on those Singletary props to the over.
Road teams, their benchmark, according to Steve McAdam in this week's Point Spread Weekly, road teams benchmark scoring 20 or more points. When they do that, they are 15-11 straight up in the conference championship round. Fewer than 20 points, 2-22 straight up, 5-19 against the spread since 1995. Home teams that score 30 or more points, that's another benchmark according to Steve McAdam, 14-1 straight up, 13-2 against the spread, fewer than 30, 12-11 straight up, 7-16 against the spread since 2002. Let's take a look at the game that will be kicking off just after the top of the hour, the NFC title game, the Green Bay Packers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. From Lambeau Field. James Salinas, your final thoughts on this matchup. Aaron Rodgers, as I mentioned before, 1-3 in NFC championship games.
Yeah, but this one he's going to be able to play at home. So for whatever that's worth, I think that the motivation is going to be there, obviously. Both teams are going to be motivated. You want to go to the Super Bowl. But I think for Aaron Rodgers, being able to come back from last year's, the last couple years that they've been in the NFC Championship game, really gotten throttled in those games. But he's played all of those on the road the last three times. This time they're going to be in Lambeau. The elements really aren't going to be that much of a factor. The field looks great there. A little bit slower. It's a grass turf and probably a little bit, you know, a little solid from the dirt perspective to be able to dig in with your speed and the cleats. So maybe a little slower field, but ultimately the weather's not going to impact this game, which is great. We want to see these two teams. We want to see these two quarterbacks get out there and get after it and play in what I think are optimal conditions for football and playoff football. This is going to be a great matchup, but in this case here, I am on the Packers. I did take the Packers minus the 3. I just think there's so many variables against Tampa Bay in this matchup that this is Green Bay's game to lose. I like them to win minus the 3. I also took them. I did find the 27. I did bet the under. I feel like there's going to be a more short passing game early on in this game as well as running the football under 27 in the first half. I had to have to pay the juice at $1.20, but right now those are the only two plays that I have. Packers laying 3 as well as under 27 in the first half, Wes.
Yeah, pack money line for me. And you did mention, James, the first NFC championship game that Aaron Rodgers is going to get in Lambeau Field. And also we got a Tampa Bay team that is playing its fifth road game in 6 weeks. And if you look historically, and I'm not a big trend guy, but I think it's a trend that makes sense. Teams off back-to-back road playoff wins are 5-13 against the spread in conference championship games. So maybe a little road weariness for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. I did do a couple props. I know James is just on the side in the first half total, and I agree with him on that first half total of 27. Just looking from a matchup standpoint, maybe a lot more Bucs props here. I think Jaire Alexander, who is graded as the number one corner via Pro Football Focus, is probably going to go back to that shadow coverage of Mike Evans today, much like he did in the Week 6 matchup where Evans had one catch for 10 yards. So that's going to open it up for some other guys. Godwin's probably going to get a lot of his reps in the slot, so over 5.5 receptions as a prop makes a lot of sense. No AB today, so somebody's got to replace him. That means they'll be covered by Kevin King, who is allowing about 9.9 yards per pass attempt. So that would be Tyler Johnson, and I think I've seen him at like 0.5 for reception. So Tyler Johnson going over makes sense, as does Cameron Brate, 2.5 receptions. It was really Brate that got a lot of the targets last week against New Orleans rather than Gronk. I know Tom Brady wants to kind of feed his guy here, but he also wants to win, and Cameron Brate, I think, is right now the better of the two tight ends, so I could certainly sponsor some overs for the tight end Cameron Brate.
Some breaking news as we close the show. Fox's Jay Glazer reporting Patrick Mahomes has been fitted with a special orthotic for the AFC Championship game. That's breaking news from Jay Glazer of Fox Sports. For Wes Reynolds in Las Vegas, James Salinas in Denver, I'm Mike Sennett in Detroit. This has been Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Up next, the Green Zone on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.